Welcome to Crossroads and Cauldrons. We are two witches with jobs, families, and busy lives just like you. We talk about weaving the web of community, practicing magic, and life in the Deep South.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. You're with Crossroads and Cauldrons. I'm Luna.
I'm Selena.
And today we're going to continue our Gifts of the Goddess conversation. And we're going to talk about communing with animals.
But you're just jumping right
first,
in.
Yeah. But first. She doesn't want to
keep my mouth shut.
I'm hosting
But
here.
First.
What you been up to?
Oh, God.
It's been a little bit.
Melting in the heat.
Still melting. Still hot.
Still fucking hot.
Well, I hear the cicadas in the background if you're not from the south. That look it up.
I can hear them briefly. Doing good. We've had llamas. Mm-hmm. We've had Feast of Hecate.
Yep.
We are fucking hot.
Still
hot. Still melting. Getting ready for Temple Fest. Temple Fest is in like a few days.
Oh, gosh.
Like a few damn days. So I've been working on my class.
Okay.
Which I'm excited about. It's kind of a... Do you hear the critters? I hear
mm-hmm.
them. It's kind of a subject that is not... There's not a whole lot of information. There's just kind of like hints and things in Greek mythology and Greek philosophy. So I'm just kind of pulling those little threads and then working on how I use them in my own practice and things like that. So it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. It's my first time presenting at Temple Fest, so... You know,
just breathe, deep breaths.
But it'll be okay. But yeah, it's gonna be good. And then the evening ritual at Temple Fest is really gonna be fantastic. So if you're able to come on out. It's in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be one day, so August 27th.
Okay.
And it's gonna be a good time.
I'm hoping to go next year.
Oh, next year's going to be great. Next year is going to be back at the Sargent Center, and it's going to be 4 days, you know, overnight. You're going to be in that bubble.
Yeah.
You know, which is great.
I need to be in that bubble.
You need to get in the bubble, girl. It's so nice.
Yeah.
You're just kind of, you know, you're just immersed in being in community and being with, you know, especially if you're in the tradition, but, you know, being with magical people.
Right.
And it's just nice.
It's nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to any form of Temple Fest, really.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's gonna be one day, but I'm kind of excited about that. You know, I don't have to worry too much about, you know, bringing all the stuff you gotta bring, pillows and blankets and towels.
Because it's just for a day. Okay.
So of course, you know, I'm gonna be up there, but I'm staying with a friend, so. Mm-hmm. Be in a house and a bed. Maybe.
Might be
on a couch. Might be on the floor. We'll see what happens.
Hey, you're in the AC at this point.
Right? I'll be in the air conditioning. Well, I don't know. I don't know if she has air conditioning.
Well, hopefully it'll be cooler up there.
It'll be definitely cooler.
Here.
It'll, especially at nighttime, it gets almost cold.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. It's going to be a good time.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's that. And then just kind of getting ready for our big Samhain festival.
It's so
coming
excited.
Up in November. That's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
We've been working on, like, costumes and scenery. And it's going to go. So, should be next month, September, we should be getting ticket sales will be available.
Oh, cool.
More information will be up. So, it's going to be a good time. And we'll share, you know, in our social stuff.
Okay.
whatever our sound guy does.
I'm excited to hear some more about that later.
Yeah. I might commission you to do some work. We'll see what happens.
Okay, cool.
I mean, some people have to just come to it, but
but
a lot of y'all's gonna be working.
So slave labor.
It's a little bit of free labor, you know. It's fine. So that's me.
Okay,
What have you been doing?
Working. Just working. I hate to keep saying that every time. Watching my garden go to complete poop right now because it's so hot.
Fucking hot.
And we have not had a lot of rain, and so everything looks bleh. Ready to start cutting stuff back and just deciding to let it go for the year. And
I'm definitely ready for fall. I've got big plans for garden work this fall to prepare. Because last year, we fucked around.
Yeah.
And then the spring, we found out. Yeah. We did a lot of... God, we should... There's so much we could have done when it was not 1,000 degrees.
Right.
And we did... We were still kind of like, let's see what's going to pop up. Because mm-hmm. we had only been here...
You'd only been here just been a few months.
Yeah. Yeah. And then... So, yeah.
But so now you have a pretty good idea of what's coming up.
Yes. And where a million things are. Thousand damn leaves. Fuck. We've got...
Enjoy your trees.
I do enjoy my trees. But the problem for us is that we have all these red oak trees. You mm-hmm. see them? You see how beautiful they are?
I see them.
They wait till everything else has dropped their leaves.
And then they drop.
And we've cleaned them all up mm-hmm. and got the roof clean and cleaned out the gutters. And then these motherfuckers are like... and the whole place is coming. By then we're too tired to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, I got you.
But they're
beautiful. But that's when it's cool enough you can rake them up and burn.
Well, now we know that, so
I
I'm going to wait.
I love the smell of burning leaves.
So. I'm going to wait and then deal with the leaves after they have done their thing in, like, December. It's
yeah.
crazy. It was crazy.
Well,
we're
all
just,
my
like,
thing.
Budget for twice.
Yeah.
Two roof cleanings. God, it's a mess.
Well, all my daylilies are done blooming at this point, and I'm fixing to start dividing, so.
Oh.
Because they've gotten too big. And so I'm going to be dividing stuff up. And
do you plant your summer lilies in the fall, or do you wait till spring?
I plant them in the fall.
So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about communing with the animals.
Communing with animals?
Yes.
I love animals.
I do too.
They're my favorite. I like animals better than people.
I do too. Well, some people. Most people.
I mean, I love you, but if you were also a kitten...
This is true.
I would like you even more.
This is true. This is true. I like cats.
I like cats, too.
I like all animals. I like
too.
Dogs. All that stuff. Okay. So, some of the things we're going to touch on... one of the things that's popped up in my research for doing this show was mm-hmm. familiars. You
oh,
put anything
familiars.
In for communicating with animals and witchcraft, that's the first thing that's going to pop up is familiars. So I wanted
true.
To touch on that a little bit.
Let's touch on that now. You want to touch it now?
We'll touch it now.
Okay.
Yeah. Just touch it. Okay. but, well, I mean, you know, we're witches and you're talking about witchcraft and animals, so it's just, it's a natural
Well, and I think that
subject.
Goes back to what we're talking about as far as the gifts of the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody is in tune with animals.
No.
Not everybody gives a fuck about animals,
mm-mm.
you know, or they're uncomfortable around them. Even people who are raised around them.
Some are terrified of animals.
I know. And mm-hmm. so I think that's, you know, it's definitely one of the signs. All the witches I know, like, are talking to every lizard that comes along. They got to stop and have a conversation with it.
Mm-hmm.
Little frogs.
Yeah.
All the bugs. Every time there's a spider, it's like, hey, little spider, let's
yeah.
go outside. You know, constantly. God
right.
help us if we see a cat and we start baby talking it.
That was me earlier with your cat.
With my cat. That's true. That's true. I was impressed that she was talking to you.
Yeah.
The other one probably, if the other one talks to you, you have been accepted into the
oh,
family.
Oh, is that what it
she
is?
She might scratch you later, but that's how she treats the
oh,
family.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, but we do. We're often accompanied by... Some
animals.
Sort of animal. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of misconception about familiars.
I think there
too.
Is.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I run my mouth?
Yeah, run your mouth.
So there's
what we're here for.
There's two different ways of looking at familiar spirits. Some people see them as physical living
yes.
creatures, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my cat is my familiar. Well, yes, because familiar just means just that, a familiar spirit.
Right.
And they are spirits, just like
mm-hmm.
we are spirits. And if they are familiar to you, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in the terms of working with a familiar, the witch's familiar is really a spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's essentially a spirit ally that you can send and do. And they do take the form of animals,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they take the forms of all sorts of things.
Right.
But... You know, it especially during, like, the witch trials and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that, you know, a sign of having a close relationship with an animal was seen as,
witch.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have such a close relationship with that animal? It must
right.
be your familiar. But they would think it was, like, a demon
mm-hmm.
that has taken on the form of a house cat or
right.
whatever it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. You've met my cats, so that checks out, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... To me, in order for it to be like a witch's familiar,
right.
it would have to be something that helps you in your magic.
Mm-hmm.
So I have spirit familiars,
mm-hmm.
but I've maybe only had one living animal that would help me with my magic. Like when they were present,
mm-hmm.
things worked better.
Yeah.
Things worked smoother. You know, they helped open the way
mm-hmm.
Versus when they weren't. And then they still come to me after they've passed on. So I do think that living animals can be familiars, but I don't think it's I don't think it's every animal that you like or every pet that you have or even every pet that you have just a really strong bond or close relationship with. You know, but it's you define familiar how you like. But I think that the key would be that it would be something that helps you in your magic. You know, but there's that. But I think, especially, I don't know, maybe a decade or so ago, everybody's house cat was their familiar. And I'm like, I just watched your cat lick the damn wall. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying. You have that cat.
No, it's not me.
But, yeah. So, anyway, well, but they definitely are intuitive and can help. They're more intuitive than we are in a lot of ways and can help open the way. You can build those relationships with
animals. Can also see on a different spectrum than we can too.
Yes, on a different light spectrum.
When they start staring in the corner at shit you can't see,
freaks
or watching
out.
Something move in your house that you can't see.
I mean, they literally can though.
Yeah, they
what
really
is
can.
Energy, the way we work with energy is that it is a frequency of light. You know, so they do see on a totally different spectrum.
I don't
think I've thought about that before. Now my brain is exploding.
Oh, I have. I've watched far too many dogs and cats both just watch something completely
invisible. Now, I've seen that.
And I'm going, you know, not a clue, but okay, keep it over there.
My cat was doing that yesterday. Aria was just like staring over all of our heads, and I was like,
yeah.
Nothing.
What do you see?
She wouldn't tell us. Heifer. But yeah, but I hadn't thought of it in terms of like, literally their vision is a different light frequency.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Like I knew they could see into the spirit world. Like there's all kinds of things where you can like look between their ears.
I've heard that.
And
yeah.
See what they see.
I've tried that. It hasn't worked for me.
It's not worked for me, but you know, maybe if I was in the right frame of mind.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're in a meditative state or something like that. Yeah.
Grab the cat.
It's one of two things is going to happen. You're going to see something or they're just going to scratch the fuck out of you.
Yeah, I'll never see again. You know, it's interesting. I've had animals that would come into the circle and, you know, they seemed happy and content in there. And I've had animals that were just like, let me the fuck out of here. You know, they didn't want to be in the room. And then I had a dog one time that would like, you cast the circle and she would lay right around the edge. Like, she would almost curl her body around where I knew the edge of the circle to be. But there was no physical, you know, marker to show where this boundary was. And she would just lay right there and not move, not bark. We could be in there for, like, an hour, and she would just... That's where she wanted to be. If I started without her, she would come, scratch at the door. She wanted in. So that was interesting.
I think the coolest thing I've ever seen during ritual happen with an animal. Actually, this is an insect, but we're going to say for the subject.
It's a critter.
It counts. We actually had a ritual where we were calling corners, and one of the corners we called was the honeybee. This was during a time of the year where honeybees were dormant.
What were we doing?
I don't remember what it was, but it was at the old location that we were at.
Yeah.
And we actually found it within the circle after everything had been said and done, and we had to release it outside. I mean, but it really was during the time of year where they were dormant.
They should have been
dormant. They shouldn't have been. And there was no such thing in the building that we knew of before we got started. So
it
that was
in there.
Actually kind of cool.
But. It was interesting because I had brought a honeycomb. Like, I have honeybees, and I had brought a little piece of comb.
But there was no bees on it.
No, because it sits on my altar. Like, and it had been sitting on my altar at home for 2 years.
Yeah.
So there was no... That's what everybody said. They were like, oh, no, there was a bee in that comb.
No,
there wasn't a bee in that comb. I promise. And that's what we found. It was crawling all around on the comb. There was no honey in it. It had been washed, like...
Yeah.
There was nothing but dust on that honeycomb, I promise you.
That was pretty cool, though.
But yeah, that was really interesting.
That was really interesting that happened. Yeah.
I've had interesting things happen with spiders. And I know, like, I get it, spiders are absolutely everywhere. Okay. But again, kind of going back to what we were talking about the last time, when things act out of the ordinary.
Right.
You know, that can be a message to you. So I was terrified of spiders my whole growing up. Absolutely, like, I think because my brothers like to throw them on me.
Could have That's a little mean. Bit to do with it.
But I was like terrified. And then I did, you know, a lot of shadow work, and I'm fine. I love spiders now. We can talk about this more when we're talking about spirit animals later. But anyway, so spiders, you know, once I got comfortable with them, and I've had several sort of initiatory experiences with spiders, get comfortable. Whatever you're afraid of, get comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're on the path of learning witchcraft, mm-hmm. if you don't work it, it will work you. And mm-hmm. you don't want that. So approach it consciously.
Right.
That's my life lesson. But anyway, so spiders. So I was doing a meditation ritual, something. I was at my altar. And, you know, I was just sitting there meditating. And I did not realize it was happening. But a spider had crawled down my hand and onto my altar. And I didn't catch it until, like, the last little part. And I saw it. And I was like, I was not afraid, which mm-hmm. I should have been. I should have been freaking out. And then when the ritual had ended, there were three of them just kind of standing in a little row in the front of my altar. Wow. And I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
So I trapped them all and put them outside because I didn't want them to stay there forever. But yeah, it was very strange because they don't usually like get together congregate. Like that. Yeah. It was very weird. And I don't know if I knew what kind it was. They were just kind of brown, had lots of legs, you know, spiders.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah.
So that was one of the earlier introductions into my working with spiders as a spirit animal. That's but interesting. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. And me being a gardener, I see, you know, bugs and animals all the time. And I have these little, what we call geckos, salamanders, however you want to call them, skinks. Some of them people call them skinks.
The pink ones are skinks, right?
I don't know. But anyway,
lizards.
I have quite large ones on my front porch, as well as tree frogs and hummingbirds and all of those, you know, little garden snakes and things like that, you know, that I see out quite often. Dragonflies are a really big symbol as well. Dragonflies have a lot to do with dreams. And
so tell you my dragonfly story?
Mm-mm.
So, when I was pregnant with my daughter, dragonflies were everywhere, everywhere. And she was born in January, so.
That's unusual.
It's unusual.
Yeah, even in the South, that's unusual.
Mm-hmm. But there were dragonflies everywhere, and not just physical dragonflies, which, yes, there were. But I would see them all over the place. Mm-hmm. There would be an ornament. There would be a shirt. There would be. They would just pop in at significant moments constantly. And I was like, I was like, I guess I'm supposed to work with dragonfly. But it was for her. Because as soon as she was born, they quit bothering me. And every time she's around, like, they come from everywhere. Like, we were swimming a few weeks ago. And we were, like, out at a river, you know, which, yes, you're going to have dragonflies there. I get that. But they would just land on our little palms, and she was just dragonflies everywhere. So I thought that was interesting that her, an animal that she's in tune with as a, you know, fetus, was coming around her.
Even before she was within this time of existence.
You know, it's not like she necessarily has a relationship. She's never been outside the womb before. Yeah. So I thought that was really kind of interesting.
I wonder if that's a crossover from a past life, maybe.
I don't know. And it's interesting, too, just the medicine of dragonfly and the fact that she was still in the womb and she's in that between space. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, she's always been very intuitive and very, you know.
Yeah.
That kid.
I can see that.
My little fairy child. Not nearly as much of a fairy child as the second one is, but she's a Capricorn. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
He's a Gemini. Bless us all.
Oh, God.
I know.
Just got a mix.
What else you got there?
So, animal medicine. You know, certain animals, just like symbolism, certain animals can bring things to light for you. Like you were talking about earlier, if you fear something within our practice, you have to face it, because if you don't face it, it'll face you. and it's actually bringing to light, not necessarily your fear of that particular creature, but the reason for that fear. So it could be something that you picked up as a child. It could be something that you picked up from past life before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just, there's just little tells that you'll pick up from the animals in that way.
Yeah,
and they help you figure things out too.
I think every animal has a medicine, mm-hmm. including humans.
Oh yeah,
I think we have we're from the animal realm. You know, mm-hmm. we're very animals. True. So I think we have a medicine as well, just like plants. I think everything has a medicine. Mm-hmm. But what comes through for you is going to be specific to you. Mm-hmm. So like I was talking about spiders before.
Right.
So for me, that was a lot of fear of death, which mm-hmm. I didn't understand. You know, and a lot of times people that have a fear of snakes have a fear of. Mm-hmm. change or mm-hmm. fear of letting go,
right?
You know, so different animals, you know, it speaks to what their physical
mm-hmm.
you know actions are, what they eat, how they survive, mm-hmm. you know, that speaks to what their spirit medicine is,
right,
as well. So yeah, it's important to sort of pay attention to those kinds of things. Mm-hmm.
yep mm-hmm. They can also offer ideas for solutions for situations that you have that may be unclear.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Animals as acting as omens and things like that.
Yeah, which we absolutely. Talked about.
Talked a little bit about that last yeah. episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like for me, it's birds. Mm-hmm. It's always birds. I don't know. I'm such birds. A squirrel. Look, they fly around. They're pretty. They make noise. What's not to love? But yeah, like I'm constantly distracted by bird. I'll be walking along and then a crow flies over and it's like, caw-caw, you know, and I'm just like, what is it, bird? What are we talking about? Oh my gosh. I embarrass my kids so much. Anytime I see a crow, I'm like, come home and live with me. Be my friend. And they're like, gosh, she's chasing birds again. So I am embarrassing to walk around with if there are going to be critters around.
I'm surprised you haven't been able to get the birds to come like flat on your hand.
I'm working on it.
From your hand.
I feed them a lot, so there's lots of birds around here.
There are lots of birds
around. I'm working on the squirrels and the chipmunks. I give them peanuts, and the chipmunk, like, hides. Okay, so here's what he does. He comes, I put the little peanuts out, and he comes and gets them, and then hides them. I've got, like, ornamental grass. He stuffs them inside the clump of grass. So you go outside and you see the grass mm-hmm. is just like, and there's a chipmunk in there hiding the peanuts. So he mm-hmm. hides them all first so nobody else can get them because he's greedy.
Of course.
And then he goes in there and opens them up and gets the peanuts out
mm-mm.
and then stuffs his little cheeks full. So you go in there and there's like 15 peanut shells in this clump of grass. So I'm working on that. I haven't gotten them to come over to me yet, probably because I don't spend enough time just sitting out there holding a peanut, waiting. But I will. I'm gonna make that time happen. I think it's important
mm-hmm.
To have your yard rodents.
Yard rodents. Friends.
Yeah. We've got little flying squirrels, too.
Oh, do you really?
Yes. They come out at night.
Oh, yeah. They're nocturnal.
And eat but they like hot. They mm-hmm. act like you can't see them. So if you're walking the dogs or something at night, you can see their little eyes on the tree, and they just freeze. And you can go right up to them and talk to them, and they're just like, she can't see me. I can see you. They're so cute. Yeah. I love it at my new house because there's animals mm-hmm. everywhere. Like, when our sound guy was driving up today,
mm-hmm.
we had 6 deer standing in the yard just having a snack. And I took some pictures of that.
And they were beautiful, beautiful.
And he scared them off.
They were all does, weren't they?
They were.
They were all does.
They were. They're all big ones, too. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen any little fawns this year.
It's not time for them yet.
Is it not? Uh-uh. I swear we had some last year at this time. We did,
but there's the big does now.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess it depends on where they are. Because we had little bitty fawns, and then mm-hmm. they stayed spotty all the way mm-hmm. until fall.
Mm-hmm.
There's no spotty ones.
Mm-mm.
There's no little ones.
Mm-mm.
What
there will
happened?
Be shortly.
Okay.
There will be shortly.
Do they not have them in the spring?
I don't think so.
I need to look into that. I should know this, but I don't.
I can't remember straight off. My brother would know.
We should do some more research before
he's a hunter.
Start recording. That's
right. So yeah. Okay, that's pretty much all I got.
That's what you got. You know, you can use animal as you were kind of talking about working with their spirit medicine. You mm-hmm. can use animal bits. in your magic as well.
You can use fur,
you can use claws, you can use bones, you can use antlers.
If you're lucky enough to find a deer shed, what we call a deer shed, which is when they shed their horns. You know, and you can find those off in the woods if you're lucky enough.
Yeah. Oh, there are probably tons of them back behind my house.
Probably.
But yeah, but you can use those sorts of things in your magic, and that helps you develop that relationship with animals. Like, just like any other kind of spirits that you're working with, just like people, you've got to develop a relationship, you know, and it's not going to be necessarily a transactional, like, you do this for me, and I'll do that. But it's, you know.
I've got a frog skeleton that I found that I use.
Oh, wow.
I've got a sterling silver jewelry box when I found a couple of the blue monarch butterfly wings. The butterfly had passed, and so I picked up the wings because the ants were eating the rest of it.
Oh, no.
And I put them in this little silver box, and they've been there, and I've used them a couple of times.
There's all kinds of ways that you can develop a relationship with animals, and I think it's important, too, to, if you work with an animal spiritually, that you serve that animal in the physical world. Like, if you work with a particular animal, what's their habitat? What are they endangered? Are they, do they need support? How can you, put your money, how can you put your energy, how can you put your work into serving that animal here in the physical, and they are going to serve you in the spiritual.
You know, you can have your home, your yard made a bird sanctuary.
Why isn't my yard a bird sanctuary?
You can do it. You'll have to go through your ag office, your local ag office.
I'm going to do that because my yard could be a bird sanctuary.
It very easily could be a bird sanctuary.
There, I've got a lot of greedy birds that will do anything for some sunflower seeds.
I don't know about anything.
These birds.
These birds would.
They're so greedy. Oh, my gosh. I have to refill the feeders every day. Pretty much. Even the hummingbird feeders, I have to refill. Well, I've got like four big feeders, though. So,
yeah.
They're greedy.
Yeah.
Greedy. And then the raccoons come.
Oh, you have raccoons, too?
Yeah. Okay. So, last year, we had the deer would put its little nose under the feeder and shake it. And then all the seeds fall out. And they would all just stand around and eat it.
Oh, the raccoons would?
No, the deer would.
Oh, the deer would.
They would just knock it out. Shake it out of the thing. The raccoon mostly wants the, there's this one feeder. It used to knock over the hummingbird feeders, but I moved them. And then it's got this one feeder that it likes to turn upside down, but it has a cage on it. So it hasn't figured out how to operate it yet, but
it will.
Probably will.
It will.
But I have a squirrel feeder that's up there just for all the critters that are just super greedy. So he'll come and just open that and toss it all out and then get whatever he wants off the ground.
Okay.
I do make him clean up the ground before I fill up the feeder again.
Okay.
That's all I can do. I'm greedy. I have to buy like 40 gallons of bird seed every 2 weeks. It's insane.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
I should have a bird sanctuary.
You should.
I want to get the crows over here. There's all different methods of, like, attracting crows. They say you have to build something up high, put it up high, and put different yummy foods out for them, and then they'll bring you gifts, and they'll start to, like, protect your yard.
Yeah.
They might run the deer off, though.
No.
They might.
No.
Okay. Good.
No.
Then I need to, I need to build. They will run other humans off. I've heard
they might.
Stories of not letting people enter your yard.
And they also have very good memories. If you're, don't be mean to crows.
Ooh, no.
If you're mean to a crow, it will remember you, and it will not be nice to you.
Yeah, I'm not.
But if you're nice to it, it'll bring you gifts and little trinkets and stuff. So
train them to bring you cash money.
God, if you only could.
I think you can. Nice. You can train them. I need a flock of crows, a murder of crows. If I could just train them to, like, live on me like they were an outfit.
Oh, gosh.
Hush! Anyway, don't squash my dreams.
We are so sorry, y'all. You typically, we are more on point, but
I think this is
hot.
Pretty standard.
It has gotten pretty standard.
We're talking about critters, though.
Is true.
Bees. Get a beehive. Everybody get one. They're easy to take care of. They're sweet. They give you honey. They're pollinators. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs bees. And stop killing all the mason bees. Stop it. I know they drive you crazy. Stop it.
They tore up my porch this year, though.
I know. Well, they tear up mine, too. But if you paint it, they don't like the paint.
I'm not painting that.
They like raw wood.
Which is, and it's treated wood. That's the whole thing, too. I don't understand why they're burrowing into treated lumber.
It doesn't matter. They don't like the paint. They don't like paint. So if you paint it, you're going to be fine. And if you give them a place, if you give them a bee, she's like, I ain't having it. No, mason bees. They're some of the primary pollinators.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
They don't sting.
No. They'll bite, though, won't they?
No.
No. Okay.
They'll just bunk into you like bumblebees.
Yeah. Hummingbirds will do that, too.
Yeah, but that's terrifying. They sound like a helicopter flying into your face.
Yeah.
Hummingbirds. They're so mean and territorial and pretty.
I want to talk to you about putting together a hive, though, for my house.
Ooh, let's do it.
She raises bees.
I do. I need to bring them up here. They're still at my dad's because I didn't have enough room.
You got enough room now?
I have enough room now. Yeah, I'm gonna put them on the back and let them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. But I got to get them in the spring. It's too late. It's too late.
All right.
Oh, well.
Well, that's it, y'all.
That's it. Is that all we have? Okay, so witches can commune with animals.
Mm-hmm.
So go talk to the critters around you at the end. That's all I know. What's coming up? Oh, the next episode we have is going to be Terrence Ward talking about empty cauldrons. Ooh. Check that out. That's going to be a really, really enjoyable episode. That's all I can think of
now.
And then the next time we come back, I wasn't ready. The next time we come back, we're going to be doing, the power to banish people, things, and misfortune. That's going to be exciting.
That'll be interesting.
Ooh, that will be interesting. I've already got ideas. Okay. Anyway.
Cool.
That's our show.
Maybe it won't be so hot.
It will be so hot until December.
No.
It's going to stop being so hot.
Yeah, October is usually when we start cooling off a little bit.
Yeah, there's a breeze right now.
This is the deep south, yeah.
It's really not that bad at this moment.
It's not too bad right this second.
So we should count our blessings.
Yeah.
Yeah. The end. That's our podcast.
Say blessed be.
Oh, blessed be, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you all so much for listening, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe through your favorite podcast provider. It helps us get our podcast in front of more listeners just like you. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can leave us a voicemail by clicking the link in the description of this episode, and you can always find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Crossroads and Cauldrons Podcast.